Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1998. The topic is nutrition, and the title is Golden Rules for the Golden Years: How to Look and Feel Great as You Age. I actually had two of my clients this week send me content on aging population in regards to nutrition and training. One was a YouTube video, the other one was an Instagram post, and I thought it was great, so therefore I'll follow up and make a good podcast. That is the way in which I prefer to do the podcast, is when things come up for clients, I like to do the podcast because it helps them, and then now can help anybody else who's struggling with the same issue or kind of thinking through the same concepts and whatnot. So one of the videos you can definitely check out if you'd like is on YouTube. It's on the channel Thomas DeLauer. His last name is spelled DeLauer. And he interviews tons of people, very successful people. One of the people he interviewed recently was Badrus Kiluin. I know how to say his name until I try to say it out loud. Badrus is Bedros. And then his last name is Keuilian. So he's an entrepreneur, kind of a business guy, and is kind of famous for that, for being a successful entrepreneur. So he gets to go on podcasts and do various things. Keuilian? I don't know. It's going to bug me because I know how to say it, but now all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank. But you can check that out. And the video they're doing is 8 Golden Rules for Losing Fat and Building Muscle Over Age 40. Now, so I wanted to take what he said, pair it with the Instagram post, and then add a couple little tweaks of my own. I've worked with, oh my gosh, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients in the over the 40s, of 40 years of age. Oh my gosh, so many. but there are things that become increasingly more important as we get older that don't seem as important when we're younger, but if we mismanage them when we're younger, they become significant and important and are often a deficit when we're older. So it's not like it only matters once you get older. It's just the consequences of your younger actions start to creep up. And now you're experiencing them. So when I'm working with my teenager clients, even them, I will teach them proper nutrition. I remember when I first started working with youth for sports, for example, in nutrition, it was said, they can just eat anything. Get them eating burgers and fries if you need to, just get calories in their face. And I never really liked that, but I couldn't really explain why. And then as I learned more about nutrition, like I got a master's in nutrition, started working with more clients, more people, having more firsthand experience myself as I grew older, it just became more clear that, yeah, they need calories, but they can still eat healthy. They still need healthy eating habits. They still need to learn how to eat for the rest of their life, even after sports. And if we can, meet our calorie demands with healthier foods, why would we not do that as opposed to like things that are really high in saturated fats or sugars that, yeah, it's calories in, but it's not going to give them quality out. we think of calories in, calories out. You gotta aim for that quality as well. So I now teach my younger athletes, my younger clients, all the same things I would teach my older clients, but it does have more of a negative impact if you don't follow those teachings when you're older. And that was something Badrus in the YouTube video pointed out, was just there's less leeway, less margin for randomness, less margin for error. When you make a mistake nutritionally as you get older, you suffer the consequences a little bit sooner and a little bit more dramatically. So I want to go through, we actually have a list of 9, so that's not a fun number. And I didn't want to just force a 10th one in there, and I didn't want to cut one of the 9 out. So we're going to go through 9 golden rules for the golden years, and let's go. Okay, so number 1, caloric awareness. Really what we want to do as we get older is try to avoid caloric extremes. When we're younger, we can kind of get away with it if we have a super low day. We kind of just bebop around and make it through energy-wise, even though it's a low day. If we have a high day, our metabolism is usually better when we're younger, meaning it's operating at the highest rate. So therefore, we can kind of burn through those calories, and we have more energy. We also have more available time in our schedule to do extra activity if we need to help burn off some of that extra. We just have more resiliency to lower calories, and we have more ability to better manage higher calories when we're younger. As we get older, those caloric extremes have a greater effect. If we have a low calorie day, we feel like absolute crap. We're going to lay down, not want to do much. You're going to wonder why just in halfway through the day you have low energy, you want to go take a nap. You're not as productive as you normally are. It catches up faster. You can't just pour a bunch of caffeine down your face, because probably as you get older, you're going to be less caffeine reactive. You'll notice that is you can take caffeine and still go take a nap. That's just chronic fatigue. Caffeine ain't going to fix that. But low calorie days do have a greater impact as you get older. Higher calorie days, you're going to form more body fat out of that because your metabolism will have decreased as you age. So we're more susceptible to the negative impact of higher calorie intake. Number two, well, I guess for number one, that caloric awareness, it doesn't mean we have to eat perfectly. You don't have to, you know, be absolutely perfect. But if you typically would consume, say, 1,800 to 2,000 calories a day, we want to avoid a 1,000 or a 1,200 calorie day. We want to avoid a 4,000 calorie day. We just want to avoid those extremes. What I tend to do is aim for a range of around 400 calories. Now, this is typically for clients that are at 2,500 calories or less per day. We have a range around 300 to 400 calories. For clients who consume over 2,500 calories a day, that range can get up to 400 to 500 calories, just due to the percentage ratio of the total caloric intake. So me, for example, I aim for between 3,000 to 3,500 calories right now, as of today. So that's my range, and that's doable without a doubt. I mean, you could definitely do that even if you're aware to it. But unfortunately, you'll see like in nutrition tracking apps, they'll give you a singular number, maybe 1,865. So 1,865 calories. And if you're a little under that, you're going to feel like you didn't eat enough. If you're over that, you're going to feel like you're a loser and you got fat and you messed up the whole day. Not true. So if you have a singular number that you go for, give yourself a range of plus or minus 10%. And that's going to at least give you some emotional and mental leeway with the true variability of how calories are every day. You're going to have a plus or minus range of, you know, 100 to 200 calories easily. And that's still accurate enough to have great results and to feel great each day. You don't have to be pinpointed down to a singular perfect number. That's not even possible, let alone necessary. Number two. Prioritize protein. So protein synthesis slows with age. So our body's ability to put the building blocks of protein together to come up with protein and then do things with it, such as repair our muscles, that becomes less as we age due to as the body starts to gather mileage, things don't work as efficiently as they used to. That's just a general way of saying it. So our protein synthesis, our ability to create new protein and then utilize that protein, lessens as we get older. However, our protein breakdown actually increases as we get older. So our situation in regards to protein worsens as we age. So therefore, we need to consume more and more protein. The recommendations that I've heard from experts and people in that realm have been anywhere from 1 gram per pound of body weight up to even 1.5 grams per pound of body weight for quote-unquote aging population, and that's defined various ways. But a general consensus would be at 50 years old or older. Some people will drop down to 40. Some people don't start aging population until 60. It really depends on your lifestyle. You know, if you're physically active and moving around, you should be consuming protein anyhow, but you're going to be a younger kind of age the way you feel. So you might not feel like you're aging until you're in your late 50s, early 60s. Whereas if somebody's very sedentary, they don't exercise on a regular basis, they can feel like their body's starting to fall apart at 40, 45, something like that. But protein is important for building muscle, for repairing muscle. It also helps with reducing the likelihood of us overeating. As we age, we tend to require less carbohydrates and fats for energy because we tend to have a lowered metabolism. We tend to not move as much as a younger population. We tend to be more sedentary. So the need for carbs and fats decreases. But yet our awareness of that and our hunger doesn't start to decrease until like later in the aging process. So in order to help control carbs and fats, if we focus more on proteins, that helps us feel fuller in our meals, but it reduces the intake of carbs and fats, and it can also reduce cravings as well. If you tend to have a sweet tooth or you have some cravings in the afternoon because you're tired, if you have some cravings in the evening because you're sitting around doing nothing and you're bored, focusing more proteins during the day can reduce those cravings, which can help quite a bit. Now, what I would say in regards to how much protein, do I agree with the 1 to 1.5 grams? Generally, I would say whatever you've been doing, try to do a little more. usually clients, if they haven't been paying attention to what they're doing, they're not even remotely close to 1 gram per pound of body weight. They're usually barely at 0.6 to 0.8. So if you've been struggling to be at 0.6 grams per pound of body weight, just solidify that, get that consistent. And how I define consistency is 10 out of 14 days. So in the next 14 days, can you have 10 of them where you reach at least 0.6 grams per pound of body weight in protein? Now, to clarify, per pound of body weight would be in reference to a lean body weight. So this would be how much you think you would weigh if you were going to walk around on the beach in a two-piece bikini or if like bathing suit with no shirt on, you know, for males. But when you think you would look good, like good enough to show off your body a bit, that would be a lean body weight. So let's say somebody weighs 250, but they're like, gosh, you know, I got a big belly on me. I don't have any muscle definition. I'm actually probably like a 200-pound person in a 250-pound body. So you would actually use the 200 pounds as your reference for protein, not the 250. There is a certain body fat percentage that when you start getting above 20% body fat, the accuracy of protein per pound of body weight becomes less and less accurate. Typically, I would encourage people to use 20% body fat or less. Then they can have that as their reference. So if you weigh 190 pounds and you're at 18% body fat, then use 190. If you weigh 190 pounds and you're at 30% body fat, do not use 190. So we would use less than that. But if you're struggling to get at 0.6 grams per pound of lean body weight, get that consistent. Once you're consistent there, try to go to 0.7, then 0.8, then 0.9. And eventually you'll start to feel kind of the upper tolerance of protein. And you're like, oh, I can't eat anymore. And if you're happy with the results you're getting, great. However, if you're struggling to eat more, but you want greater strength, you want bigger muscles, make sure your calories are correct. You can find that out on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. You can go to the free nutrition education page. On that page is a link. The very first thing on that page is a link for creating your own nutrition program. It can tell you how many calories you should be at, how much grams of protein you should be at, and then talking about meal timing and carbs versus fats and things like that. So that's free. You can also hire me for a one-on-one coach, and I'll help you set up all those numbers. There's no contract for that. So we work together for a month, get you set, and then you go on your own, or we can keep working together if you like the accountability and you have more questions. But you have a free option and you have a paid option. The paid option just gets you there faster, and I do all the work for you. But the free option still is there as well. But that's what I would aim for, is getting my protein up to a tolerable limit, assuming I'm happy with the results I'm getting. If I'm trying to build more muscle and I don't see any more muscle happening, then I might need to actually continue to eat more. Up to 1.5 grams per lean pound of body weight, I'm sure sometimes that works for some people. They tend to be hormonally substituted, or supported, I mean, not substitute. Well, actually, yeah, that as well. Meaning they're on hormone therapy. So that tends to improve protein synthesis. So therefore, as at the age, they might still have a degree of increased protein breakdown. So now that they have the hormonal support and they're getting proper protein synthesis rates, they can throw more protein in there to help build more muscle in an aging state. All of that is to say, please pay attention to your protein. Get at least 0.6 grams per pound of lean body weight. Once you're doing that consistently, try to explore a little bit more and see if that makes you feel better. There you go. So number three is to be aware of and be conscious of carbohydrates. You absolutely can eat carbs and have a lean physique, 100%. But it's very easy to overeat carbohydrates as opposed to overeating fats. People tend to prefer carb-based foods, taste preference-wise. They're usually cheaper as well. So they'll tend to overeat those. We want to be careful with carbohydrates. When we think of protein, it's very unlikely to be converted to body fat. It can happen in certain situations and cases, but it's very unlikely. So you can eat a large amount of protein and not gain body fat from it. Dietary fats, if you eat a lot of fats, if you eat under or at your maintenance level, won't make you fat. No way whatsoever. If you overeat beyond your maintenance level of calories in dietary fats, you're going to form some body fat. One of the benefits of fats is it does have other purposes in the body. So fats are used for other things in our body, such as hormonal support, whereas carbohydrates aren't. They fuel processes in the body that, like, for example, building new muscle tissue does require some ATP energy. It does require energy from carbs and or fats. Carbs also fill up in our glycogen stores, which are our energy storages in our muscles, and that gives us good energy for activities. But once the stores are full, every ounce from there contributes towards the formation of body fat. In regards to creating a caloric surplus, and then dietary fats aren't burned off and then they are converted over. But carbohydrates tend to get people in trouble if they overconsume them, and they're easier to overconsume. So we want to be very aware of our carbohydrate intake, and a general mindset is to keep them relatively low. You'll have recommendations all over the place, anywhere from your body weight or less in grams of carbohydrates per day. Some people will go as low as half your body weight in grams of carbs. Others will say no carbs at all and just do a ketogenic diet. I don't believe the ketogenic diet approach is necessary. Is it helpful for some? Hell yeah, it is. Is it necessary? I would argue no. You can definitely have carbs. And even people like Bedros, for example, he has, I believe he said, 50 to 75 grams of carbs a day, but then he has one day a week on Saturdays where he'll actually eat up to between 50 to 100 and sometimes over 100 grams of carbs a day on that day, because it refills his glycogen storage, it helps with maintaining high metabolism, and he then trains legs on Sunday mornings, so he wants to have the glycogen, the stored carbohydrate energy, in his muscles, so he has a great workout. So even somebody who is a proponent of low carbs still has carbs. You don't have to eliminate them, but they are something to be mindful of. So if you're looking for a range, being at your body weight or less in carbohydrates would be a good start, and then kind of play from there. This means that, number four, you're going to be eating mostly fats and proteins. You want to front load the day as much as you can, meaning you eat a significant portion of your calories, total calories, including protein, in the first part of the day. I typically have clients aim for thirds, a third of their calories and protein in the first one third of the day, which is typically the first 5 to 6 hours of the day. Then we have another third of their calories and protein in the middle third of the day. and then the final third of their calories and proteins in the final third of the day. So break your total calories down, break your total protein down, divided by three. Have one third in the first 6 hours of being awake, another third in the second 6 hours of being awake, and the final third in the final whatever hours of being awake. And that's a good way to set up frequency. You want to focus mostly on fats and proteins in order to hit your total daily calories. So we know we said proteins at least 0.6. Carbs, we're going to go at body weight or less. So the remaining amount of calories that you need to be at your maintenance level calories should come from fats. You want to have unsaturated fats predominantly. That should be two-thirds of your fat intake, with saturated fats being one-third of your fat intake. Saturated fats are helpful for hormone balance. They do have good things to them. You just want to keep them in the proper balance. You shouldn't have all of your fats coming from saturated fats. It's roughly recommended to be about a third. The reason why I'm giving recommendations is because people want to know them. But often people are not even remotely controlled enough to have any of these make any sense, because they're not doing the baseline of even controlling calories correctly, let alone protein, let alone worrying about the percentage of the carbs and fats. But if you're at that stage where you want to know those numbers, hopefully these numbers are helping. Number five in our golden rules for the golden years is hydration. As people age, they report not being as thirsty. And that's partially due to decreased food intake, decreased activity. However, we want to make sure we're eating well. We want to make sure we're active. And if we're doing those two things, we do need to hydrate. Our minimum would be half your body weight in ounces per day. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you're looking for 100 ounces a day. If you weigh 150 pounds, you're looking at 75 ounces a day. So half your body weight in ounces a day of fluids, and it can be all fluids are included. That's the minimum, the base. You want to be above that if you can. But that's important. It helps with digestion. It actually helps towards energy. Helps towards a lot of good things in our body. We tend to feel better when we're hydrated. You're going to have better energy and be in an overall better mood when you're hydrated. Number six is sleep. Whew! Sleep is very important. People will report as they get older that they just don't need as much sleep. Kind of bullshit. You do. You might have reasons why you're not sleeping as much. Maybe you're like physical pain when you sleep. Maybe you have a bad back, bad shoulder, and that stuff's kind of highlighted when you're laying in bed. Get a better bed if you can. Do some therapies for whatever that thing is that hurts while you're awake. You do want to try to get better sleep. Sleep is when your body does the most muscle building and repairing. It's important for fat loss. It's important for cortisol reduction. It's important for optimum hormone levels of the body. Sleep is restorative. As we age, regular life beats us up more. It's more stressful. So sleep is how we counter the more stress of life, by giving ourselves extra time to recover. The general recommendation for adults is to have a minimum of 7 hours. More is better. Okay. Number seven, reduce gut-irritating foods. I'm going to give you a list of foods that have been purported towards gut inflammation and messing up kind of digestion for people. Not all of these things need to be avoided or reduced. They're just, hey, this might be a thing, so pay attention to this. Give it a thought. When I eat these things, how do I feel afterwards, right? So again, this is a big asterisk. I am not saying you can't eat these foods. What I'm saying is pay attention to how you feel after you eat these foods. If you don't feel good, reduce or eliminate these foods. But it will be unlikely that every single food on the list is a problem. This is just to raise awareness. Processed foods. Processed foods tend to be high in additives and preservatives, which can mess up kind of the balance of bacteria in your gut, and that can cause kind of digestion issues. So processed foods tend to be something we want to stay away from. So you're going to try to find more natural state foods, or foods that you kind of make and prepare yourself rather than having them pre-prepared for you. If something has had to be modified to increase shelf life, it's probably going to have some preservatives and additives to it that are potential for causing inflammation and gut issues. Second thing we're looking at is refined sugar, high fructose corn syrup, and citrus fruits. These all can lead to inflammation and digestive issues. Citrus fruits have been connected with worsening of joint pain and arthritic issues. So that's something to consider, is after you have refined sugars, after you have some sugar intake, especially if you're having it by itself, meaning it's not paired with another food, how do you feel after that? So that's something to pay attention to. Gluten, even if you're not celiac disease, like even if you don't have a gluten intolerance, you might just be gluten sensitive. So that would be something to pay attention to as well. Dairy products, for a lot of people, dairy products can cause bloating, gas, diarrhea. They can actually worsen arthritic issues. So dairy products, but mostly dairy sugars. That's kind of the key there, is dairy products that have sugar. Galactose is the type of sugar in dairy, and that can cause those issues for some people. Fried foods, yep, they're going to be unhealthy for unhealthy fats, and that can mess up the gut biome. So if you have a lot of fried food, that can cause gas, bloating, diarrhea, that can cause some issues. Red meat, for some people, can cause inflammation. I know other people that eat red meat on a regular basis feel totally fine. Great, keep going. Again, these are just to raise awareness. When you eat these foods, see how you feel afterwards. Artificial sweeteners, these are a big one for me. Sugar alcohols will destroy my stomach, absolutely destroy my stomach. So I have to be careful with sugar alcohols. So that's something I pay attention to on a regular basis. Alcohol, that's not good for really anything. So that'll cause some issues. So you want to try to eliminate or reduce that. Caffeine is okay in a moderate sense, but excessive caffeine can become a problem. I know for myself, if I have two energy drinks on an empty stomach, it will mess up my stomach for the day. So I actually do better with digesting an energy drink if I have food first. That's been kind of a revelation over the years. When I was in my 20s, I could take enough caffeine and energy drinks to kill a horse and still be great, to be fine. As I've gotten a little older, a little more stress, a little more mileage on the body, now if I have too much caffeine or too many energy drinks, it'll mess up my stomach and I actually get like dry, patchy skin on my face. So that's something I've had to pay attention to, and that's related to like esophagitis, like inflammation in the throat. So there are some things, like canola oil is something I've become allergic to. Eggs by themselves will mess me up. Milk by itself will mess me up. Artificial sweeteners like sugar alcohols will mess me up. Sweetened drinks, if I have like the energy drinks more than just one drink at a time, with some food dispersed around that, that'll mess me up. So that's something I pay attention to. Like red meat doesn't bother me. I'm fine with that. I don't really eat fried foods. Dairy products, I do have Greek yogurt every day. Do great with that. No issues whatsoever. Gluten, I can have gluten and be okay with that. My wife requires gluten-free foods, so we don't eat a lot of gluten very often. Well, she never does, so I don't, because there's no need for me to have it around the house much if it's going to cause her a problem. And then I usually cook for both of us, so I don't want to cook both like two meals. I have done it in the past. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's just usually if I'm cooking one thing, it's easier just to cook twice as much of it than cook two different things. So, but that's a little bit of my feedback, is you can hear how not everything on the list is a problem, but some of the things on the list are a problem. So that would be good to pay attention to. Number 8 is not nutrition, but I'm going to sneak it in here, is we need weighted resistance training and cardio. So as you age, you need to weight train. This isn't even a debate. This isn't like a suggestion. You freaking need to do it, because as we age, muscle breaks down and it does not come back. Muscle tissue is not regenerative in the sense to where if you lose it, your body will just create it again. So you know how we lose like skin cells and then our body just continues to grow new skin? That isn't how muscles work. So whatever muscle you had in your 20s and 30s and 40s, and then you stop being as physically active, as we age, we increase protein breakdown, the muscle tissue just goes away, goes away, goes away. Lessons, 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 lessons. And that's why you start to feel struggling to put anything over your head, to bend down to tie your shoes, to stand up, sit down without making some weird noise. It gets harder to move yourself around because you're slowly losing muscle tissue. If you don't resistance train, if you don't weight train, you're not putting that muscle back on. You're just going to decay and fall apart. One of the things that drives me absolutely insane is when people do not eat healthy, they do not exercise, and definitely don't weight train, and then they wonder why their body feels like shit. Like, oh yeah, you know, my knee hurts, and I don't know why my knee hurts, because you're sitting on your ass doing nothing for yourself. Literally nothing. You're not doing anything that would make your knee not hurt. Like, it's just completely insane to me that somebody would run the machine of their body without giving a shit about how they take care of it, and then they wonder why it breaks down. No freaking kidding. If I buy a car and I just put gas in it when it runs empty, but I never change the oil, I never do maintenance, that car is going to be a piece of shit pretty quickly. So a lot of people are left with a body that feels that way pretty quickly, and often a lot faster than what they wanted it to be, because they just haven't done anything. You can't not give any concern to your body. Eat whatever you kind of want, never really exercise, and then be surprised that the body is falling apart. That is, it's like, shocks me, frustrates me, no clue. But we do need to weight train as we get older, because our rate of muscle loss is faster. We need to start putting that muscle back on. We need to encourage the body to repair and replace some of that muscle that's being lost. You also need cardio, though, because it helps with the aerobic system. It helps with the health of your lungs, your blood vessels, your heart. And it also helps improve digestion, by the way. It's also good just because the more aerobically fit we are, we tend to recover better from stressful things. Our body isn't as stressed, so we don't produce as much stress hormones, which can then cause issues with fat loss and muscle building in general. Then the last thing we're looking at, number 9 of our golden rules for the golden years, is to optimize your hormones. Get your hormones checked. Get your thyroid checked. Get your testosterone, estrogen checked. See where you're at. Make sure you're in healthy ranges. If you're in like the crappy end of the healthy ranges, look into how you can kind of benefit those things, boost those things, get them up more into the optimal range. There are therapies and supplements and, you know, compounds you can take to help boost thyroid, to help, you know, better balance testosterone and estrogen. It doesn't have to be full-blown like hormone therapy, which some people are afraid of. But if your hormones are crappy, if they're on the lowest end of healthy, that's the response you're getting from everything you eat and everything you do in weight training or in the gym or exercise-wise, is if I have crappy hormones, I'm going to have a crappy response to food. I'm going to have a crappy response to training. I'm going to be putting in work that should be getting me better results, but it's not, because our hormones represent kind of how the system of the body is operating. If it's suboptimal, you're going to get a suboptimal response no matter how much effort you put in. So it is recommended to get your hormones checked, get your blood work checked, and get those things balanced out and healthy. Okay. Awesome. Well, if you have any questions, if you need anything, let me know. You can always message me on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. On the bottom of the website is a contact form. You can send me any message you want there. I appreciate everybody who listens to the podcast, and I hope that you get something you need from it. I hope there's some benefit. If you have any questions, or if you ever want to make requests, any clarifications, just let me know on the website. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.